Okay, continuing along the themes of Bishul B'Shabbos, Ari Lipsky asked me this morning to speak about making tea on Shabbos, so there's a lot to talk about, and I don't know if we'll be able to cover it in 10 minutes, but we'll try. There are three melachos that you need to talk about when you talk about making tea on Shabbos. There's the melach of Bishul, primarily, which is the most important discussion in making tea on Shabbos. Then you have the melach of Borer, which we'll soon see why that's an issue. And then you have the melach of Tzoveya to discuss as well. So let's take one by one. In terms of Bishul, so there's a lot of background information that's necessary in order to understand what the Bishul issues are. You have to understand the concepts of Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni. So very often, food is cooked, even if it's not directly on the fire or directly on any source of heat. And that is simply by putting it into food that's already hot. You put food into a boiling hot water, so that itself, the heat itself, can cook the food. Chazal teach us that a kli rishon, which is a pot or the contents of a pot that was heated directly by a source of heat, can cook anything as long as it retains its original heat. As long as it's still hot, a kli rishon has the ability to cook. Once the food is transferred to a kli sheni, meaning you take it out of the pot it was originally cooked in, and you pour it into a second cold pot, then that kli is a kli sheni. So even though it might still be piping hot, the food itself might be very hot, for whatever reason, Chazal assume it no longer has the capacity to cook. It's an interesting discussion why that's the case. In a Kli Rishon, as long as it's still somewhat hot, so let's say it's 120 degrees, and that has the capacity to cook, but in a Kli Sheni, it could be 180 degrees, and all of a sudden it doesn't have the capacity to cook anymore, because it's in a Kli Sheni. So Tosfos and Shabbos, Daf Mem and Beis, Dibur Maskil Shema Mina, and the Or Sameach, and Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Tes Halacha Beis, have a fascinating discussion about that issue. Not for now. Now, what about food being poured from a Kli Rishon in transit on its way into a Kli Sheni? Does that have the ability to cook? So the Rishonim have machlokas about that. But that's called Irui Kli Rishon. So some of the Rishonim say that it's similar to a Kli Rishon, and some say that it's not similar to a Kli Sheni. Shulchan Aruch and Simon Shin Yud Ches Sif Yud and the Mishnah Berurah there indicate that Irui Kli Rishon is able to cook, but only the outermost surface of what it's being poured on. So it's Mevashel Kedei Klipa. It can only cook the outermost surface of the item that it's being poured onto. So now, Kli Sheni is not able to cook. That is the rule. However, there are exceptions to that rule. There are some foods that Chazal assume are so easily cooked, Kalei Abishal, they're so easily cooked that they can even become cooked in a Kli Sheni. Now, there are two major issues regarding Kalei Abishal that we have to deal with because they're very relevant to our discussion of tea. Number one, the Gemara does not give many examples of foods that are Kalei Abishal. So it's very difficult, just by learning the Gemara, to develop a standard of what's called Kalei Abishal and what's not called Kalei Abishal. So there are three basic approaches in the Poskim in terms of defining what is and is not Kalei Abishal. One is the Bir Alachin Shin Yud Ches Di Ramaschil V'Kulyos Hispanin quotes from the Rambam that anything thin and soft textured should be Kalei Abishal. It has to look like something that's very easy to cook. The Chazon Ish in Siman says that any food that's mentioned explicitly in the Gemara Shulchan Aruch as Kalei Abishal is Kalei Abishal. Anything that's not mentioned explicitly in the Gemara or Shulchan Aruch as Kalei Abishal, default position is it's not Kalei Abishal. Obviously, that's a significant Kula. The Mishnah Berurah on the other extreme has a significant Chumrah. Mishnah Berurah in Shin Yud Ches Sifkat Mem Beis says that we consider every food to be Kalei Abishal unless the Gemara explicitly tells us that it's not Kalei Abishal. All foods are assumed to agree to be Kalei Abishal, and many poskim follow what the Mishnah Berurah says. Now there's a major raya against the Mishnah Berurah. Silver pointed out to be choshish everything is Kalei Abishal seems that it's mafurish in the Gemara in Shabbos Mem Beis Amar Aleph that you're allowed to put water in a Kli Sheni. And this is according to Shulchan Aruch Shin Yud Ches Sif Yud Beis and in the Shaar Tzion Sifkot Nesamach Ches. And L'chora, there's not that many things that are easier to cook than water. And yet it says you're allowed to put water in a Kli Sheni. So to say that every food you should assume is Kalei Abishal really more kal than water to cooks, that's a major raya against, that's a silver quarter from Rav Shechter in the name of the Rav, that raya against the Mishnah Berurah. That's one issue of Kalei Abishal. The second issue of Kalei Abishal is when we say Kalei Abishal can be cooked in a Kli Sheni, does that mean it could be cooked in a Kli Sheni, but once the food is transferred into yet another Kli, a Kli Shlishi, now even Kalei Abishal can't be cooked in it? Or is Kli Kli Sheni is just a way of saying something that no longer has the capacity to cook normal foods, but really there's no difference between Kli Sheni, Shlishi, Revi. It's all the same. If the food is still hot, it can cook Kalei Abishal. If it's not still hot, it can't cook anything. Is that the approach to Kalei Abishal? Is it Dafka didn't Kli Sheni, but Kli Shlishi is different? Or do we assume no? Once you're past Iri Kli Rishon, everything is the same. You can only cook Kalei Abishal and nothing else. Whether it's Kli Shlishi, Revi, doesn't make a difference. So Rav Moshe, Nigus Moshe, Archaim Chel Dal, Seminayin Dalad, Ost Tezvav writes that since the Gemara never makes mention of a Kli Shlishi, we can assume a Kli Shlishi can't cook anything, even Kalei Abishal. That you can cook whatever, you put whatever you want in a Kli Shlishi, it's not cooking anything. The Aruch HaShulchan, Shin Yud Ches, Ost Chavav, says that a Kli Shlishi does have the same ability to cook as a Kli Sheni, and a Kli Shlishi is able to cook, and therefore would be usher to cook Kalei Habishal in a Kli Shlishi. Mishabur, Shin Yud Ches, of Kat Lamites, seems to pass in that way as well. Halach l'maisa, whether or not a person violates the issue of cooking when you put a tea bag in a cup of hot water that was poured from the urn depends on the issues that we just discussed. If you would assume that we don't have to consider all foods to be Kalei Abishal, that default position you assume a food is not Kalei Abishal, well then you can put it in a Kli Sheni. There's no problem with putting it in a Kli Sheni. It's not Kalei Abishal. If you're going to assume that everything is considered to be Kalei Abishal unless otherwise proven, so then putting it in a Kli Sheni is going to be a problem. What about putting it in a Kli Shlishi? Well, that depends on the machlokas from Moshe and the Mishnah Berurah. If you hold that Kli Shlishi has the capacity to cook Kalei Abishal, then you might have a problem. If you assume that tea leaves are Kalei Abishal, you'll have a problem putting tea bags even in a Kli Shlishi. And that's, in fact, the Shita of the Mishnah Berurah. If you hold that putting tea bags that Kli Shlishi does not have the capacity to cook even things that are Kalei Abishal like Rav Moshe, so then you can make tea in a Kli Shlishi. You can put a tea bag in a Kli Shlishi. Practically speaking, three basic approaches to how to make tea on Shabbos. Mishra Brun Shin Yud Ches of Kat Lamites writes, you cannot cook tea even in a Kli Shlishi. If you want to make tea on Shabbos, you should prepare tea essence. Use a small amount of water with a lot of tea bags from before Shabbos to make a very strong concentrated tea. And then on Shabbos, you can mix that with hot water in order to make it a normal tea. But that's the only way to do it according to the Mishra Brun, because you can't put a tea bag in anything, not a Kli Shlishi, Revi, whatever, it doesn't matter. Rav Moshe, however, considers tea to be Kalei Abishal and would not allow a tea bag to be used in a Kli Sheni for that reason. So in that sense, he's machmir like the Mishnah Berurah, but he's makil in that he allows a Kli Shlishi. He says you can use a Kli Shlishi because Kli Shlishi cannot even cook Kalei Abishal. The third cheetah is the Rav. The Rav is quoted in Nefesh HaRav, page Kuf Ayin, as having said that his grandfather, Rav Elia Prajner, I think Rav Shach said that he said it about Rav Chaim also, but at least Rav Elia Prajner was always careful to follow halacha to the letter. He was very pious and religious Jew, and he would make tea in a Kli Sheni. So Rav Soloveitchik said, if my grandfather did it, it was good enough for my grandfather, it's good enough for me. I can make tea in a Kli Sheni. Also, obviously assuming that tea is not Kalei HaBishal. I asked Rav Shechter, does he rely on that? He says, when I'm thirsty for tea, sometimes I rely on that, and I'll make tea in a Kli Sheni as well, assume that it's not Kalei HaBishal. This also assumes something else. Shabbos stuff, Kli Sheni is not Mavashal, that's clear in Shabbos stuff Mem Beis. But besides that problem, Tosos in Shabbos stuff, Lamites Amud Aleph, Dibra Maskul Kol, quotes an opinion from the Ri that there's an Isser Drabanan of Mechsi Kimavashal in a Kli Sheni, and he says the only exception is if you put spices in. That's not a problem of Mechsi Kimavashal in a Kli Sheni, because spices are there just to spice up the food. It doesn't look like you're cooking. So he says, L'chora, if you're going to make tea in a Kli Sheni, you have to assume not only that tea is not Kalei Abishal, but that it's just tavlin, it's just spices. And therefore, you don't have a problem of Mechsi Kimavashal either. That's L'chora, what Rav Shechter is assuming. There's a sheet of the Aruch L'Neren, Chelgal of Simon Yud Zayin, who says that if you use the tea bag once before Shabbos, then Ein Bishal Achar Bishal, you could use the tea bag again on Shabbos, even with Iri Kli Rishon. The problem with that is that the first time you use it, you don't know that everything has been, all the tea leaves have been mevushal kol tzarchem already. So it may not work. That svara may not work. So it seems to be rejected by halacha. I don't know anyone who relies on that. That is the bishul issue. According to some poskim, Minchas Yitzchak Hel Dal Simin Sadites Oschaf, when you lift a tea bag out of a cup and it's dripping, that's a violation of the malach of borer, because you see the wet dripping tea bag, removing it from the cup, is you're straining the dripping tea from the leaves that are inside the bag. Other poskim aren't so concerned about borer. Uh, when you lift the teabag out, but everyone agrees that if you take the teabag out with a spoon, so whatever's dripping out is just landing in the spoon, that would certainly not be a violation of the melacha of borer. Now, certainly, if you don't have a spoon available to you, there are many poskim that assume that if you just remove the teabag quickly, and you're not sitting there holding it over and just straining it, that lechara could avoid the whole borer problem also. So that's the simplest thing to do if you don't have a spoon, to remove the teabag. In terms of the melacha of tsoveya, so in general, Shulchan Aruch Simon Shin Chav Sif Yutes writes that the Isser of Tzoveya does not apply to food. And that's true because dyeing in the Mishkan was for more permanent use. When they colored foods, that's never for permanent use because you want to eat the food. It's not going to be there for very long. It's an interesting question why we wouldn't say the same thing by a woman putting on makeup, that it shouldn't be real Tzoveya because it's not meant to stay there permanently, it's only there temporarily, but we don't say the same thing, probably because she would prefer it if it would stay there permanently. Nowadays, women tattoo eyeliners on their eyes so that they don't have to deal with it anymore. So they would prefer if it would stay there permanently, it just happens to not. So maybe that's the difference. Anyway, some poskim question this pitur and say that you're not even allowed to color food. In the Avnei Nezer, Simon Kofayin Gimel quotes in the name of the Tosfos Rid, and the Sharetzin, Shin Yurches, Sivkat and Samachay. But one way to avoid tzoveya, any shayla of tzoveya entirely, is if you put the colored ingredient in first, and then the clear ingredient, because then you're not coloring something, you're just changing the color of something that's already colored. If you put the clear ingredient, the water in first, then the tea bag or the tea essence, that would be more of a tzoveya shayla. So that's why when people prepare the tea essence before Shabbos, like the Mishnah Berurah, it's preferable to add the tea essence first and then pour the water into the glass to avoid the tzoveya problem. If you're using a tea bag and you're cooking in a klisheni, let's say you're paskin like Rav Soloveitchik, then you better not do that. You don't put the tea bag in and then pour the water directly into it, because now you're doing yirah kli rishon, and that's bad. That's going to be a bishul problem. And since there's no tzviya by ochlin anyway, meyikra didn't. We don't really paskin that it's a problem with tzoveya. Much better to stick the tea bag in second if you're doing it in a klisheni. In a klishlishi, it doesn't make a difference because yirah kli sheni has a din of a klishlishi. So in a klishlishi, you could have the tea bag in first and pour the water on top of it. So hopefully that gives us a little bit of guidance as to at least what the basic shittos are about making tea on Shabbos.